Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, August the 12th. And today we're going to check with our good friend George Rodriguez. We're going to talk about the O'Rourke Abbott campaign, some interesting exchanges between Mr. O'Rourke and somebody in his audience. And then we're also going to talk about the FBI, let's just say raid. I know some people don't like that one, but whatever they did at the former president's home, we're going to talk about that. Very interesting situation because I never thought I would live to see that you would have the FBI basically break into somebody's home, a former vice president's home, over an argument over documents. It just didn't seem to me that would ever happen in the United States, but it has. Let me say hello to our friend George Rodriguez in South Texas. George, it's pretty hot up here. What's it like down there?
Well, actually, it has been extremely hot. It's been averaging 100 degrees for the past 3 weeks, if you can imagine.
Yes.
However, we've got a low pressure in the Gulf that they think is going to turn into a tropical depression, or maybe even a tropical storm, and we're already beginning to feel some of the outer weather bands, outer storms coming ashore, and we've had a couple of thunderstorms yesterday, and we're expecting some this evening. So very, very interesting weather.
Well, I tell you, you can send us a little bit of the rain because
yeah.
We could use some of the rain up here. We had like a couple of days ago, we had a little bit of rain, but we could use a good storm. I don't want to get everything. Yeah, I don't want to get everything flooded, but we could use a good storm up here. Well, a couple of stories, George, that we want to cover today. Of course. Always like to talk to you about Texas politics. But let's begin with this raid on the former president's home in Florida. George, I got to tell you, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it that we would basically blow up a tradition that I think is one of the best traditions of the United States, that we don't do this. We don't go back and go after the people before us. And if we're going to do it, we certainly don't do it over a discussion over documents. I mean, you probably know more about this than I do, having worked in the administration, the Bush and Reagan administration. But it's just hard for me to believe that we would be sending the FBI to look for documents 18 months after he left office, George. So I just find this whole thing rather troubling, George.
It is. It is very, very troubling. I will tell you that from my own experience of having worked in the federal government as a political appointee on four occasions, I will tell you that let me explain what I'm talking about. Career employees are what you would really, you would call the bureaucracy, the bureaucrats. And mid-level career employees have a very, very strong sense of territory, of not their mission, but how they are allowed to do their work. And the headache that we've got is that quite often they, because the system was set up for them to be independent of persuasion, what has happened is, in my opinion, they have become very political for the Democrats, because the Democrats favor big bureaucracies, big government, and by definition, they would get more power, they would get more, and so we see this as a norm. Now, within the Justice Department, I saw many, many times when I was working there, many, many times, where you had, again, mid-level justice employees who would buck directives by the administration. And they would do that claiming that it was not fair or something within their mission, et cetera, et cetera. And clearly it was, but they would buck it. Now, the second part of this is the Federal Civil Service Commission that protects a lot of these mid-level and upper-level bureaucrats from being fired. If you're going to fire one of these individuals, you have got to go through a lot to fire them.
Right.
Consequently, in my opinion, we've got some folks that have entrenched themselves who are very, very closely tied to the Democratic Party, and that is very disturbing.
It is, George, because the FBI, let's take the FBI as an example. Now, look, before we talk about the FBI, I want to say that I think 99% of the men and women who walk the streets and who are out there, you know, working on cases are fine people. They're patriots, and we are very grateful for the work they do, and we understand the risk that they take. But what I'm talking about with the FBI are, you know, what we saw, people within the organization texting each other about Trump, and in essence, you know, getting involved in politics in a way that is completely, I mean, it's totally, totally wrong. You know, the man and the woman, I forgot their names, who were texting each other, you know, the two lovers or whatever, who were texting each other and talking about, you know, how they could hurt the Trump campaign, and you had other, you know, evidence of the FBI participating in other things, like, you know, the, what did they call it, Crosstown Hurricane, and then you had, of course, the document that was used to obtain the warrant. I mean, that should worry, every American should worry about that kind of thing going on. Again, I'm not talking about the patriots who are defending us. I think those are very fine people, but there's a certain bureaucracy there, and you're seeing it, I think, George, to some extent, in this raid against the former president's home, because how in the world they could sit around in a round table and talk about this potential raid, doing this, and not consider the political consequences of it, and not realize how bad this could be for them. I mean, it amazes me that nobody raised their hand and said, you know, Mr. Attorney General, we've never done this before. And, you know, there are people out there in the country who don't trust us right now because of things that have happened before. Maybe we should keep negotiating with the former president to get the documents. And if he doesn't give us the documents, we will then go to the courts and potentially the Supreme Court, as happened with former President Nixon when he had those tapes years ago. So I'm just amazed at the arrogance, if I could put it that way, of these people, George.
It is. It is very, very disturbing. Additionally, let me share with you another story that came, because what I see here, and I don't want to be an alarmist, but what I see, because it just seems that that's the way that the Democrats seem to be bent on the idea that they're going to control the justice system and make it more just, social justice, okay? In doing that, at the local level, they want to control the police. And again, what they have tried to do with the police departments across the country is set up a system where they can hire and fire police officers without the, you know, almost at will. Now, couple that with what happened yesterday, very quietly, by the way. What happened yesterday was that ICE, the Immigration Customs Enforcement, these are the guys and gals that do the actual deportation, that do the arrest and deportation of illegal aliens, something that the Biden administration has not wanted to do. The union that represents ICE employees was abolished. That is, I mean, here we have the Democrats, the Democratic Party, which has always been the party of unions, of employees, of workers, abolishing ICE, the ICE union. Why did they do that? Because they want to make sure that ICE employees do what they tell them to do, which is not to enforce the laws that they are required to do. I mean, this is very, very disturbing. This pattern that we are seeing, both at the FBI, at ICE, and with local police departments, it should be very, very disturbing to people.
Absolutely. And I think in the case of you know, dissolving the union for ICE, I think what we're seeing is they love unions, and I guess as long as the unions like them. And
exactly.
As we're learning with many of these unions is that, well, not necessarily the union, but the rank and file and the Border Patrol and ICE and all of that is obviously becoming very anti, maybe not anti-Democrat, but certainly anti-Joe Biden. And,
yeah.
And they're having a lot of problems with what Joe Biden is doing on the border. Let me pick your brain for a second, though, George, on what you think was the motivation for this whole thing. My theory is this, and I'll just kind of put it on the table, but my theory is that I think the Democrats have realized that they're not going to get Trump over January the 6th. The January 6th committee has not really done, let's just say they have not done a very effective job in hurting Trump.
You're right.
Yeah, so they've had hearings, but there's a poll that came out a couple of days ago saying that 90% of the country has not changed their point of view based on these hearings. So in other words, if you think that Trump should be thrown in jail, you still think that. And if you think, like me, that this investigation is short-sighted and that we should be looking at more than – we should be looking at things, for example, like who didn't protect the Capitol, then, you know, I haven't changed my mind. So the January 6th committee is not changing political positions in the country, so they need something else. And I think they threw a Hail Mary pass and went into the former president's home hoping to see that they could find anything that they could at least embarrass the president or former President Trump. And I think that's what's behind all of this, George. I think there is a certain level of irrational behavior on the part of these people that, you know, they've become obsessed with Trump, and it's just like they don't know what to do. They want to get him, and they're willing to do some very stupid things to get him, George. So what's going on here. This is Trump derangement syndrome on steroids. That's what I think, George.
Yeah, I mean, this is really, I have always said that liberals tend to be immature and insecure, and this is really, really what seems to be going on. Insecurity and immaturity going, like you said, on steroids. These folks, you know, they are desperate. They are absolutely desperate to not Trump out. And what seems to be happening is that every time they do that, Trump's popularity strengthens.
Right. Well, I know. I think somebody was saying thank you to the FBI for reelecting Trump or something like that. I mean, and, you know, obviously, you know, this is so crazy for George, for anybody looking at this. I mean, I'm sitting here saying I'm trying to put myself in the office of the Attorney General, because apparently the president didn't know. Now, whether that's just a way of protecting the president or whether that's true or not, I don't know. Let's just take him at their word that he didn't know. So they're sitting around this round table at the Attorney General's office, and they're saying, let's go get a warrant and go into the president's home. And everybody says, great, let's do that. And nobody stands up and says, you're going to do what?
Yeah,
you're
going
to go
exactly.
into the former president's home?
Yeah.
I mean, are you crazy? Don't you realize what you're going to do? And this is the thing. But when people, you know, when people get obsessed, when people are irrational, they do a lot of stupid things, George.
That's right. That's exactly right. And what we're seeing here is exactly that. I mean, someone who was nominated for the Supreme Court, like Merrick Garland,
yes,
who is the Attorney General, I mean, why didn't he step forward and say, okay, you know, let's think this over? I mean, it shows again what kind of a Supreme Court justice he would have been.
That's right. Well, you know, it's funny, but I think I guess we got to really, you know, we got to credit here then Majority Leader Mitchell for holding that position vacant. Because, yes, I think Merrick Garland is demonstrating that he's got very little common sense. And, you know, George, when I saw him on TV, the body language was not very impressive. He looked scared, George. And I don't, you know, I'm trying to be – I don't want to make fun of him because that's really not my style. But he did not come across as a very impressive man.
Well, it is my style. So I'll tell you that he reminded me of one of these characters in these great in these beam horror movies that sees the monster and doesn't know what to do, you know, kind of like a comic relief.
Okay. Well, maybe so. But I think if Saturday Night Live was as funny as it used to be, I think they would have a lot of fun with that speech.
Well, speaking of Saturday Night Live, did you see President Biden putting his jacket on, getting off of the helicopter?
Yeah, that was amazing. But I got to say something. I really it just amazes me, George, that they went that nobody thought about the Pandora's box, if you will, that they're opening. But I guarantee you that if you're President Obama and you're watching this, you're looking at Michelle and you're saying, Michelle, get ready, because when the next Republican president is in the White House, they're coming for the Fast and Furious boxes.
Yeah.
Now, again,
I hope.
But I don't like that, because I think it's better not to do that, because it just poisons the well. But look, they're the ones who changed the rules, so I think it's going to come back to haunt them.
Now, to haunt them.
Absolutely. Now, do you believe that President Biden knew, or do you think they're just protecting him?
No, at this point, I really think that President Biden doesn't know too much of what is going on unless they put it on the prompter for him.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's very likely that he didn't know, but I do think some of the people around him, like the chief of staff, probably knew that.
Yeah.
The other thing, George, that and then we'll take a break. Do you get the feeling that Merrick Garland is out on his own? Because he's not even getting he's not even getting a thumbs up from the Biden administration. It's like they're saying, we don't know anything about this. Talk to him.
Exactly. Everybody ran to their corner like scared little kids. After they've been caught doing something, and no, I don't know anything about it. I didn't do it.
Yes. Yeah, I get the feeling that, poor Merrick Garland, he's on his own. He's totally on his own. Let me take a quick break, George, and then when we come back, we can talk a little bit about Beto O'Rourke and the little incident that he had a couple of days ago. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, with our friend George Rodriguez. George, let's talk a little bit about Beto O'Rourke. He was, I guess, at a campaign stop, and he started talking about the AR-15 and how it had been used in Vietnam, which is, of course, completely wrong. And he was, he was just saying a bunch of things. And I don't know if the heckler was responding to his comments about the AR-15. I don't know, because I it's not real clear to me whether it was a heckler or one of his supporters. Maybe you know better. But basically, Beto responded by using that very famous word that we cannot say on the podcast. But were you surprised that he lost his cool that way, George?
No. As I have described, immaturity and insecurity. Beto is the poster child for that in my book. Beto, from the time that he was a congressman, the time that he's been in politics has always shown his himself to be a person that you cannot challenge with logic, because he loses it. He's got to be theatrical without being challenged, like when he was at the Uvalde press conference with the governor and the mayor, and he decided to grandstand and be running out of there, be escorted out of there. Beto, you know, he loves to use hyperbole. That's number one. You know, this comment about an AR-15 being used as a weapon of destruction in Vietnam. You know, get your facts before you open your mouth. But no, he's not. He's looking to incite, not inspire, but incite his voters. And so, you know, he was caught by, he is being followed. He is being shadowed by a lot of folks who oppose him. This is about the third time that I know of that, you know, either after an event or during an event that he's been heckled. He has this tendency to say things that are not true, as well as lose his cool. And for the life of me, I don't understand how people can't see through that, or how the mainstream press continues to claim, after they've seen these incidents over and over again, how they continue to claim that the race between him and Abbott is getting closer and closer.
Right.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either, because the numbers do not support that it's getting closer and closer. I mean, I was looking at every single poll that has come out. If you go to Real Clear Politics, they've got all the polls, like the last 20 or 25 polls that have come out this year, going back to the first of the year, and there's not a single poll where Beto is over 45%. There was one poll where he was at 45%. But all the others, he's at 43, 42, 38. So he has been hanging around between 40 and 45, let's say, the entire year. The governor has been between 46 and 53. So I think that reflects maybe a certain Republican anger at him over the border. I think eventually those Republicans will come to him when they have to vote. And I think there's always, of course, anger over the power grid and all of that, that unfortunately, you know, some people never, you know, they're still angry at that. But if you're angry at the border, you're not going to vote for Beto O'Rourke, George.
Well,
that doesn't make any sense.
I mean, even the grid, you know, I mean, he is pro-green plan. If you think that the grid is bad now, wait till he takes it over.
Beto should take go to Europe for a week.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, in France, where they've gone to nuclear power, something that was completely unthinkable a few years ago.
In Spain, for example, they've taken measures where they basically say it's illegal to set the temperature above or below a certain point, because they're basically saying we have to conserve energy, so we're going to tell you how to set your temperature at your home. And other places are having the same problem in Germany. Some of that, of course, is because of the fact that they became dependent on Russia. That was a foolish mistake that they made. But a lot of it is because, you know, much of the green energy that they invested in is not panning out the way they thought it would, George.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And you know, again, getting back to Beto, I mean, he is pro green plan. So
absolutely,
his supporters need to be more realistic, the press needs to be a little bit more realistic,
right,
a little bit more honest, in my book. But
yes.
You know, he has really, really lost it on several occasions, and I just don't understand for the life of me how he can be a serious candidate at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that right now he's kind of stuck in the position he's in, as I was saying, and you know, I don't see him moving. If you're a Beto supporter, you know, I don't see your candidate moving out of that range. And again, all you got to do is look at the polls, and you would see that if he was really getting close to the governor, he would be at 46, 47, 48. That's where, you know, he would start getting seriously close. But 43, 44,
he has plateaued. That's what happened.
Yes, I think you're right. I think he's hit. And the other thing, too, George, with Beto O'Rourke, is that back in 2018 when he ran, you know, he was fairly unknown outside of El Paso. I mean, I didn't even know who he was back in 2018. I have to tell you the truth. I didn't know who he was back in 2018. And it took me a little bit to get to know him because I didn't know much about him. But now he's very well known. I mean, he's probably one of the best known candidates to run for governor, certainly Democrats, to run for governor here in recent years. So he's very well known. He's got tremendous name identity. And yet he's not moving, George.
Nope. Remember when he ran when he opened his campaign against Ted Cruz, how Harper's Weekly did a large, large expose on him about how he was the future. And then shortly, within a month, they changed their tune.
Right.
The guy really, I mean, you know, it's very, very difficult for him to hide himself. And
right.
that's what he's got. I mean, that his flaw is that he can't hide his character and his personality.
Right. No, in 2018, it was nothing but a campaign about the personality of Beto O'Rourke. And now it's really the issues more than the personality. He's also running, frankly, against a much better candidate in Governor Abbott. Senator Cruz had his troubles back then.
And he did not campaign as strongly as he should have, in my opinion.
Right. I think they didn't take Beto seriously until Labor Day. And so they gave Beto the opportunity to campaign for free. But not now. I think the governor has been campaigning, and I think you're going to see the television ads really hit after Labor Day. Well, George, as always, I want to thank you for your time. Are you traveling any this weekend?
In fact, speaking of the Abbott O'Rourke race, I am speaking at a rally on Tuesday in San Angelo, Texas. Of course, on behalf of the governor. So I'm looking forward to seeing all my friends out there.
Great. Well, we look forward to, send us some pictures or send us some clippings of how it went.
You got it.
All right. Thank you very much, George. Our good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas. Have a good weekend, George.
You too. Thank you very much.
All right. Our good friend George Rodriguez from South Texas talking a little bit about the raid on former President Trump's home, and then, of course, the Beto O'Rourke incident where he screamed a expletive deleted. Remember what they used to call him back then, an expletive? He said something to one of the hecklers, and it's become a national story, but I don't think it changes the campaign much. This is going to be it's not going to be a 20-point lead or anything like that. I never expected that, but I've been saying from the very beginning that this is going to be 7 to 8 to 9 points. That's going to be the difference, 7, 8, or 9 points difference, and that's how the governor is going to be reelected. Thank you very much for listening. As always, have a wonderful weekend. We'll post the show all weekend so you can listen to it and enjoy it. Enjoy it very much. And we're going to have a couple of our audios from the week that we're going to be posting over the weekend. So check those out. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.